more Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We've been following House Bill 447 since it was introduced in January. It would allow public tax dollars to go towards supporting private school education. Now, Idaho lawmakers have tried over the past several years to pass a school choice bill, but none of those past proposals have become law. Now, under this latest bill, families could get a refundable tax credit up to $5,000 for every child to cover private education costs like school tuition or homeschool fees. The powerful House Revenue and Taxation Committee held a two-hour hearing on Tuesday, the first time that we've heard from lawmakers and the public on this bill. Our senior producer, Samantha Wright, watched the debate and put together some of those arguments. We should point out that we did have to edit down some of the testimony for time. Republican Representative Wendy Horman kicked off the debate. She is one of the sponsors of the bill. So let's take a listen.
I want to acknowledge that there is a lot of emotional rhetoric around this issue on both sides. If you are the parent of a child who, for whatever reason, has struggled in the public system, I've been that parent. It's very emotional for you to not have access to a setting that works better for them. It's also very emotional for those who believe this will harm public education. I would not be standing here if there was a shred of evidence that this would harm public schools. In fact, the evidence points to the opposite.
My name is Marcia Bravo, and I'm an Idaho native, and I'm also a retired educator who had the privilege of teaching in Idaho public schools for more than 40 years. I greatly oppose House Bill 447. Now, we know through the years there is a chronic funding gap. So my question to you is, how can this bill make the education system of Idaho for public education better? Let's do the math. If you subtract money from the general fund, there is less money that can be used toward Idaho schools and the education of Idaho children. We can do better. I plead and urge you to veto this bill. It is harmful to children. It is harmful to students of all ages and the public education of our system, our great state of Idaho.
I'm Chris Cargill, president of the Mountain States Policy Center. This bill will not take any money out of K-12. It is a completely separate line item. So I think that's important to point out. It's also important to remember that the $50 million cost of this tax credit is equal to less than one half of 1% of the state's total K-12 allocation. So even if it did take money out of the K-12 budget, which it doesn't, we're talking a very, very small percentage. Our analysis shows that very few families would actually sign up for this program. And the reason for that is because families like their public schools. And to quote a former president, if you like your public school, you can keep your public school. What we're talking about here is for the small percentage of students who don't necessarily fit into the public school box. Many of those kids are special needs kids like my son. We had to take him out of the public school setting because it didn't work for him. Luckily, my wife and I had the ability to pay for all the extra therapies, all the extra tutoring that went into that. But if you think about no other question today, think about this. What about the families who can't afford that? What about the families who can't afford that?
Morning. I'm April Frederick from Boise. I'm a product of strong public schools. I'm not a parent or a grandparent. I'm a taxpayer. When I was a child and I didn't like what was offered for dinner, I didn't ask my parents for money to go out to dinner. I was told I could spend my own money on that. This is what school vouchers sound like to me. If you don't like what's for dinner, I'm not going to pay for your evening out. Also, as a property owner, I think I pay roughly $500 a year for public schools. Let's do the math here. If I were a parent choosing to send my children to a private school, as a taxpayer, I'd pay in $500 and I'd get back $5,000 per child. That doesn't really sound like good math here. It What a tremendous return on an investment that I don't think I could even get in the stock market. So I believe in Idaho children that they deserve the same opportunities I had for a quality education. Let's not give out a handout to a small number of families who can already afford private schools.
My name is Matt Crane. I currently have four kids enrolled in Nampa Christian School. And sometimes there's a mentality that only rich people send their kids to private school. But I can certainly testify before you that I am not part of that stereotype. My wife and I sacrifice greatly to be able to send four kids to private school. And we do this because we feel that this is certainly best for them. We appreciate the type of education that they get at Nampa Christian. I will say that, as we all know, things are getting more expensive in every sector of our economy, and things are getting more and more difficult to afford. And even though we have the choice to send our kids to private school, with the trajectory of the economy, I'm not going to have a choice for much longer. And that's why I really appreciate the prospect of some of the tax money that I'm already spending being able to come back towards me as a credit.
Thank you, Chairman Cannon and representatives. My name is Zach Borman. I'm the president of the West Data Education Association, and our members oppose H447. Last year, all five of West Data's fiscally conservative trustees signed off on running a $500 million plant facilities levy, a historic ask in the state of Idaho. They saw the writing on the wall in regards to regional growth, ongoing needs for updating facilities, and the growing call for more choice from our district's parents. Honestly, that $500 million was more than likely a huge underask of what was really needed. As I'm sure you know, the levy failed pretty miserably, not because residents didn't agree with the need, but because they are tired of having to disproportionately foot the bill for the Idaho legislature's constitutional responsibilities. I continue to be somewhat astonished that we would be considering dropping all this extra money into a whole new educational system when we're regularly not meeting the existent need of our established ones. Similar to using the limited remainder of your monthly earnings to buy a ticket to Disneyland for your high school sweetheart's kids instead of buying your much-needed winter clothes for your own. It is to disregard the clear needs of your immediate obligatory dependents in order to partially fulfill a frivolous request from those not your responsibility. You all can pat yourself on the back and feel like public education has been taken care of because there were historic investments over the last few years, and while there have been some great steps, it has not come even close to keeping up with need or inflation.
We're going to invite Representative Horman back to the podium to close.
One of the loudest arguments against school choice is that it creates segregation. Let me tell you what, we already face that. The problem with that argument is too often our neighborhoods are already divided along racial and economic lines. Students pay a price for that because their parents can't afford the mortgage or the rent in the neighborhood where the great school is. All schools try. They do. I've been there. They try. But the problem is you shouldn't have to live on the right side of State Street to get in school where your child has a fighting chance, maybe a 70% chance, at learning to read at grade level. It shouldn't be connected to your zip code. And this bill gives us a fighting chance at disconnecting income and wealth and housing from academic achievement, because parents are willing to fight for their children to get them to a place where they might have a shot if their situation is not working. I don't think it will be that many kids, but for those who need it, it is life-changing.
After several people spoke, the head of the committee said they were running out of time and they cut off testimony, and then they took a vote on the House bill. Well, joining us now to tell us what happened is Kevin Richard, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News. He has been helping us follow the school choice debate this entire session. So, Kevin, nice to have you back with us.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so, Kevin, what did the committee members decide yesterday when they took the vote?
Well, ultimately, they decided to kill the bill. There were two different motions on the committee. The first was to send it to the floor for a full vote without recommendation, which is pretty unusual. I mean, the standard practice in committee is you pass a bill and you recommend that the full House or the full Senate pass it. This was a motion that's kind of a compromise motion. It failed narrowly by one vote. And then there was a motion to hold the bill in committee, which effectively kills it for the year. That passed on a 10-7 vote. So very divided testimony Tuesday morning, very emotional hearing. And that division was apparent as the committee took this up as well.
So, Kevin, what were some of the arguments that lawmakers made, I mean, for or against this school choice bill?
I think the basic argument for it is that this would open up opportunities for parents and for families to pursue private education that they might not be able to afford otherwise. And you heard that not just from Representative Wendy Horman, one of the co-sponsors of the bill, but you also heard that from some of the parents who spoke in committee on Tuesday, saying that this would really be a benefit to them, a godsend to them as they try to send their children to private schools. You heard a variety of concerns about going down this route. You heard lawmakers concerned to a large degree about the cost of the program now and the potential cost down the road. A lot of testimony and a lot of debate on the committee about this being a $50 million program, perhaps to start, but the concern is that it would become much, much more expensive in time as has unfolded in other states. So I think it's interesting. You know, this is a very different legislative session than we've seen the past couple of years, where I think lawmakers are in general a little bit more concerned about making big big investments in much of anything. I think there's a concern that the years of huge budget surpluses have come and gone. So I think this is a little bit more of a conservative legislature when it comes to spending money on anything. And you know, so I think there were fiscal concerns. And there's also a concern that this sets a precedent, that this takes us down a road that we have not yet gone down.
So, Kevin, do you think the bill ultimately failed? Not necessarily because all of these lawmakers are against school choice, but they're concerned about the financial ramifications of a bill like this passing.
I think you had a combination of the two. I think there are definitely financial concerns that were very prevalent in the debate on Tuesday. And I think there are lawmakers who would bristle at the suggestion that this is school choice, that this is somehow something we're not already doing. You heard that a lot in committee on Tuesday, that Idaho already has a lot of school choice. You have charter schools, you have open enrollment, you have homeschooling. And I think for a lot of members of the committee, they're saying, well, you know, to suggest that we don't have school choice in Idaho is a fallacy.
Okay, so with that said then, Kevin, is school choice dead for the year? And I ask this because last week you wrote about a possible new bill that could keep school choice alive. And I mean, and we're kind of running out of time this session.
We're definitely running out of time. I mean, lawmakers hope to wrap up in the next couple of weeks. So the only thing that is perhaps alive, and it's really hard to tell where this really stands, is trying to piggyback onto the Empowering Parents microgrant program that we've talked about before and try to add onto that a provision that would allow some parents to use that money for private school expenses. Right now, Empowering Parents covers the cost of a computer or internet access if a family needs something at home to help their kids learn. That's what this grant program has been designed to do. There's been talk about trying to expand it. There was a bill last year to try to do that. Chuck Winder, the pro tem of the Senate last week, suggested that that's something that might be in the works. We've seen nothing concrete about that. So I really don't know how alive that is. But as far as a full-on tax credit bill for private education, that died in committee yesterday. So we'll watch what happens in the next couple of weeks. But like you say, we're late in the session now.
Yeah. Okay. So if I'm understanding this correctly, Kevin, there could be a possibility that they try to tack something on to the Empowering Parents grant. But with that said, remind us again right now how the Empowering Parents grant works, because you said like you can't go and you like I can't go get a grant and then go put that towards like my kid's private school tuition.
Exactly. There are things that you can and you can't use Empowering Parents for. And one thing that is not on the table is private school tuition. And in fact, and this came up in a committee meeting on Tuesday, different committee meeting, There was a parents committee that looked at the Empowering Parents program last summer, and they took a vote, this parental committee, about their opinions about expanding the program to private school tuition, and they voted against the idea. That's just a recommendation, but this is a group of parents that spent the summer really kind of digging into the program, trying to figure out what's working, what isn't working, because as we've talked about before, this is a program that's popular with a lot of families, but it's had some hiccups, some growing pains to get started. So I don't know. In the end, I don't know how much sentiment there's going to be at this stage of the session to try to turn Empowering Parents into a micro grant / tax credit, tuition credit, private school funding mechanism. I don't know how that gets done in the final couple of weeks of the session, or if there's really sentiment in the legislature to try to do that.
So wasn't Empowering Parents supposed to be on the chopping block this session?
That's how it started out. We're still kind of waiting on some of the budget bills to come out of the Joint Finance Appropriations Committee. But there had been talk early in the session about zeroing out the program. And the talk came from Governor Brad Little's team saying if we needed to, you know, cut the overall state budget to meet a more conservative revenue picture, that would be a program that they would be willing to do without. And mind you, the governor has been a big advocate for this program. I mean, he's been it's his baby. It's something that he proposed. It's something that he's supported. It's something he said has been a big success. So it's a bit surprising that they even talked about cutting it in the first place. We'll see. You know, there's still a lot of budgeting going on in that committee, and still a lot of budgets that have to pass on the House and Senate floor, especially in K-12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with all of that said, I mean, we don't have a crystal ball. I mean, they want to wrap the session up by March 29th. But if a bill was attached to the if a school choice bill, excuse me, was attached to that Empowering Parents program, I mean, Kevin, what are the chances? I think even make it somewhere, let alone pass. And I'm talking just pure time restraints at this point.
Well, it's not just time restraints. It's also, it becomes very politically sticky because last year, funding Empowering Parents for this go around, even without factoring in anything that has to do with private schools, that spending bill barely passed the House. It was one of the last budget bills to pass last session. And there was a lot of concern about putting money into Empowering Parents grants, you know, as is, you know, just putting money into computers and internet access and the menu of things that Empowering Parents is already paying for. There are folks in the legislature who are wondering, or at least were wondering last session, is this really where we want to be putting $30 million? So it becomes a really sticky situation. We'll see.
Okay, so I will also want to quickly talk about the Blaine Amendment. So, because this has to do with education as well. So can you tell us first off, what is the Blaine Amendment?
The Blaine Amendment is a constitutional amendment. We have it, about three dozen states have it. And what it basically says is you cannot put public money into any program that supports any parochial program. And that becomes largely focused on education. You can't put public money into religious-based schools. Mm-hmm. There was, this year, there have been in past years, attempts to overturn the Blaine Amendment. And that has not come out of a House committee yet. It came up in a House committee earlier this session. No vote was taken. And you got to remember, amending the state constitution is a really difficult thing to do. That would have to pass both houses by 2/3 majorities, and then it would have to go to voters. So it's tough to amend the constitution, and it's designed to be tough to amend the constitution. So again, a couple of weeks ago in the session, Blaine Amendment hasn't gone very far. It would be kind of surprising, I would say, at this point to see it get through at this stage of the session.
Well, and as you mentioned, I mean, even if it were to go through, right, it's that sticking point are our voters. And if they would say yes to taking this amendment out of the Constitution.
Oh, my goodness. If we had a Blaine Amendment on the ballot in November or any November, if it ever goes before the voters, I mean, I'm just thinking about the amount of money and the amount of lobbying we saw in this state house, this session on a school choice bill, on a tax credit bill. just imagine the spending, the campaigning you would see on both sides of that debate. It would be, yeah, it would kind of almost take us back to the year that we had the referenda on Tom Luna's education laws. I think it would be that divisive and that costly and that strident a campaign. Yeah, it would, I think, it would overshadow anything that was going on in Idaho politics in that election cycle, if and when that ever happens.
Yeah. So, Kevin, as we wrap up, at this point, then it looks like this House Bill 447 is dead. We are not going to see
dead. That one's dead.
Okay.
We can definitely reel that one out.
Okay. So we're likely not going to see another school choice bill try to get through the legislature this session. However, we have next year. Is this going to continue to come up in some shape or form in our legislature, at least moving forward into the next session?
It will certainly come up next legislative session, and it's going to come up before that. We have primaries coming up in May. I've said before, and I'll say again, that I think that this issue may be the defining issue in legislative primaries coming up in May. And we have a lot of incumbent legislators on the education committees, now on the House Revenue and Taxation Committee, because that's the committee that voted down the tax credit on Tuesday. A lot of these lawmakers have contested primaries. This is going to come up. This is going to be an issue that it could decide some of these elections, and that in turn could decide the balance of power within the legislature in 2025. Whatever happens between now and next year, this kind of a bill, I'm sure, will come back next session.
All right. Well, as always, Kevin, really appreciate your perspective and your reporting on this. So thanks for making time for us today.
No problem, Gemma.
We've been talking with Kevin Richards, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News, talking about the school choice bill in the Idaho legislature, which died for this session. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.